306 DGS. That Saint Swithin's guy is pissing me off.
Me too.
The worst saint.
Yeah. That's what you're known for?
Is this a real thing or did Dave Murray make this up?
No idea.
Well,
I've never heard of Saint Swithin's.
I don't think he's making it up, but something that deep into the meteorological religious nerdery. A guy who chose a day and said the next 40 days are going to be the same. Like, did it happen?
Right.
Smithers?
And just looking at my phone app, it doesn't look like it's
doesn't
going
look
to
like
happen.
It.
So, I don't
no,
know.
You can't trust those.
Question for you before we get into Stairway to Kevin. Obviously, we all know what happened over the weekend. And if you're paying attention, you know that Donald Trump is pivoting and he's very openly talking about this was life changing. He said, I should be dead right now. I'm not. I'm changing the way I do things. I ripped up my anti-Joe Biden speech. We're going to be all about uniting the country and America first and so forth and so on. I am confident that the Dave Glover Show is the least bomb-throwy show that is also popular probably in the United States, certainly in the city. So I don't think that we have a lot of rough edges to round off. We're pretty stable. We're pretty factual. But does it hit you? Like, I have wrestled with it since this happened and since Donald Trump has come out saying he's going to pivot. What can I do to be a part of the solution, not the problem? Has it hit you guys like that at all yet?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, I've noticed just from watching news over the weekend, I watch a lot of CNN. It does seem like they have taken a little bit of a step back and are just being a bit more careful about the way that they speak about the former president. Similar to how people, you know, you and John were saying earlier in the show, Dave, we'll see how long this lasts for Donald Trump. We'll see how long it lasts for media outlets,
yeah,
too.
Agreed. My commitment is going to be to redouble my efforts that when I talk about Biden or I talk about Trump, that I talk about policy. It's so easy to say things like he's crazy, he's insane, he's a bad person, he's a this, he's a that. I am confident in my fellow citizens that you can look at the litigation that's happened. You can look at the allegations that have been levied and you can make up your own mind. You don't need Dave Glover to tell you that Donald Trump is this or that or Joe Biden is this or that. You can make up your own mind. But from a personal broadcasting professional standpoint, I think I'll just try to keep it more policy driven as opposed to pejorative.
Did you see that they didn't air Morning Joe this morning?
I did.
Because they were, I guess MSNBC was just too afraid that they would say something inflammatory.
I guess.
After everything that happened.
Yeah.
Pretty wild.
Not a lot of confidence in your main guy.
No.
With all of this, I think I'm jaded by the post 9/11 world. Like, at first, everything's kumbaya, we're going to come together, we're going to work together. That lasted a few months, and it was over. I'd be shocked if this lasts anywhere close to that. Not us. I think what you're saying, Dave, is more of what we do anyway. Because most of what we would do that would be considered what you're saying about the quote-unquote personal stuff is mostly jokes. We're not calling anybody the enemy of freedom. That's not this show. That's not how it works. We're not doing the whole demonizing, making someone the other. But I'll believe anyone's changed when I see it over a long period of time. You know, my buddy Chris Duncan used to say it all the time. It's a baseball phrase, but he say, don't tell me about it, just be about it. And if people can show for a period of time up until November that we're not going to be that again, awesome. That'd be great. But I'll have to see it.
Boy, you think if ever, right?
Yeah. I mean, I definitely, maybe I'm naive, but whenever I see reports that the former president is saying, like, I want unity, and he's kind of looking at this as an opportunity, that does give me hope. It might be silly. It does need to be proven over time, but for right now, I'm comfortable resting in that place of hope rather than just being like, you know. I would like to see it go that way. I would really, truly like to see, you know, not that I need to depend on Donald Trump to set the temperature for the entire country, but he's someone who does have perhaps more influence than anyone else just the fact that he's saying he wants unity at this time, it would have been really easy to come out and say, like, see, look at what my enemies want to do. All they want to do is wipe us all out. It's time to fight. And I know he was saying fight on stage. I'm sure that was just as a show of, hey, look, I'm strong.
Yeah, they didn't
Don't
get
be afraid.
Me, that kind of thing,
exactly.
Yeah.
So I find it very hopeful that this is the rhetoric at this point in time.
Do you think you would have had the presence of mind to react like that?
Which I have no idea.
But, you know, I'm sure he was in shock, like the whole, like, let me get my shoes. I'm sure that was just him thinking, like, I don't have my shoes. That was probably the number one thing on his mind in that second. Because things like that, just you have no way of preparing when you are in a state of shock. It's just like, oh, what's the thing I can control right now? But to raise my fist with blood dripping down my face and scream fight, I probably wouldn't have had that present. I probably would have been pretty scared, honestly.
Yeah, get my ass off this stage.
Right.
Yeah. Stairway?
All right, dealer's choice, and you're the dealer. Space or Cardinals baseball draft?
I typically would go space, but I'm interested in your take on this guy, so talk to me about the new kid.
There's two parts to this. One is going to be the first-round draft pick. I'm not going to bore everybody with the guys that follow that. Not that they don't matter. They do. I mean, Albert Pujols was a late-round draft pick. You know, I mean, Alec Burleson was a fifth-round pick. You know, like, there are good players that are not first-round picks. But the first-rounders get the most attention for obvious reasons. And so I'll do a real short thing on J.J. Weatherholt, and then the reactions that you'll get online are just amazing. Like, I'll explain what I mean in a second. But the Cardinals, at the number 7 pick, got a guy that 6 months ago was being talked about as the number 1 pick. He's a shortstop out of University of West Virginia. Really good hitter. And if you look at the MLB.com write-up of him, the scouting report that they have of him going in, and I think they had him ranked as their 4th best player at this point. Beginning of the year, he was considered one of the guys that could go 1 or 2. He had a hamstring injury in college, which he missed probably half the season. Ended up playing, I think, 36 games. But I'll just read you the part from, this is from MLB.com's evaluation. It said he might be the best pure hitter in the class. There are some area scouts for multiple teams, not just one team, who think he's the best amateur bat they've ever seen. Whew. This guy can hit. That's his calling card. He's not going to stay at shortstop, and he wouldn't with the Cardinals anyway. Mm-hmm. Like, the reason he slipped from 1-2 to where the Cardinals were at 7, where the hamstring injury just raised, you know, he didn't get to perform, so people didn't see him. And because people are convinced he's not going to be a shortstop. Well, that doesn't matter for the Cardinals. Mason Wynn is your shortstop. He's your shortstop now. He'll be your shortstop 5 years from now. And Weatherholt will be here before that. But Weatherholt plays second base. He can play third base. He's fast enough to play the outfield. But he's a really good hitter. And everybody that evaluates that have nothing to do with the Cardinals love the pick. They think this guy, again, you got a guy that 6 months ago could have gone number 1. You're getting him at number 7. Everybody loves this guy. He's advanced. He's a college player. And that's the book on him, right, is scouts love him. They think he can really hit. And defensively, he'll figure it out. What drives me, what I got in some of the reaction was, oh, cool, that sounds great, man. That guy could have been number 1, and the Cardinals got him. And then another part of the reaction was, well, why would they take a guy who plays shortstop when you have Mason Wynn? That's a stupid pick. And people just don't understand what they don't understand. Nobody in baseball takes a player or passes on a player based on what their current major league roster looks like. That never happens, right? So Cleveland had the number 1 pick. They took a second baseman with the number 1 pick. They currently have a second baseman who's won 2 gold gloves and has 5 more guaranteed years on his contract. And they're paying him $10 to $15 million a year in each of those years. Nobody cares what position the guy plays right now. If he hits, he's going to have a position. And you don't know what your team looks like in 2 or 3 years. And I don't know how you, and the reason I wanted to bring this up with you specifically, but in this group was, is there actually like would you have thought that about the draft? Is that something that is like instinctive to you that teams do not pick players in the draft based on what their current team looks like? It's not like football.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. I guess I'm so much more into the football draft that I would have thought, well, we need a wide receiver, but this guy's a great tackle.
Right.
So that, you know, there's no need in looking at him.
In football, the best teams take the best player regardless of position. Mm-hmm. But some teams will say, you know what, we need that wide receiver. And he's going to complete our chances at being good this year because he's going to come in and play right now. I mean, you're not going to see J.J. Weatherholt until at the earliest next year. That's the soonest you would see
him. Where do you think he'd start out?
Good question. Probably my guess is going to be A-ball, maybe Peoria. I don't know if they. I wouldn't know. I wouldn't think they would go Florida State League for a college player of his background. But maybe he starts at Peoria, and he'll move fast. Like if he hits, he's going to move fast. Maybe he reaches Springfield by the end of the year. He's a really good player, but your major league roster is irrelevant to the draft. Nobody ever chooses players in the draft, no team, based on what the major league roster looks like, mm-hmm. because it changes. Players leave via free agency. They get hurt. They get traded. You know, the player you're developing may get traded for something bigger down the road. You never know. You just take the best player, and that's it. That's all that matters.
Welcome back, guys. DGS on KMOX. One of our favorite guests to have on is Gordon Hedlund. Not only is he a good St. Louis boy, but he was a former assistant director of the Secret Service. He served in that capacity as an agent for 28 years, and he joins us again now. Gordon, it's great to talk to you again, my friend. Thank you.
Hey, it's good to hear you. Is this Dave, I take it?
Yeah, this is Dave.
Yeah, I wasn't sure I'd been talking to Andrew, but it's great to hear your voice, Dave. You got a great show. I love it.
Thank you, my friend. So what a weekend for all of us. What a weekend for you, given your background. Just kind of give us your experience. Like, people of a certain age have a JFK experience. We all have a 9/11 experience. What was it like learning what happened and reacting to it for you, Gordon?
Well, I'll tell you what, Dave, the JFK... The assassination of John F. Kennedy had a huge impact on me. Actually, his entire administration did. And I will tell you that he talked about bringing young people, which I was at that point in my life, into government, and talked about doing great things for the country. And I myself and many others were very motivated by John F. Kennedy. And then when he was assassinated, it was, of course, major impact on all of us, the world included. Whether you were Republican or Democrat, people loved John F. Kennedy. But it was a tragedy. And of course, this week, with everything that's happened over the weekend with the attempted assassination of former President Trump, it all has come back to me, you know, very much. Yes.
And not to put too fine a point on it, Gordon, but as we talk about how different this timeline would have been than that timeline, imagine if JFK has his ear grazed the way that Donald Trump did, how different the world would have been.
Oh, it would have changed history for sure. But, you know, it's always when we least expect it.
Yeah,
and
amen.
That's what happened this weekend. We didn't expect it. You know, I'm sure many of us have thought, when or could this possibly happen again? And we hope not, but it did. And, you know, it was tragic. We still, you know, former President Trump survived this. He escaped almost certain death here by inches. But there were people, you know, like the fire chief who died protecting his family, yes. Others that were injured during this. You know, this is traumatic. It changes lives. And it brings people back to reality and started thinking, wait a minute, what are we doing here? What is important? And especially when you think about, you know, all the tragedies that that we've actually had in this country with the JFK thing and then the assassinations of Robert F. Kennedy and Martin Luther King, others, in fact. And there are lists of them, people that have been impacted by people that were either just mad because they were disenfranchised, or maybe they had medical issues that impacted their judgment and good thinking. And that's often the case. And then there are people, let's take Lee Harvey Oswald. You know, motivation is very important, and it's important to the FBI right now. They want to know why this assassin attempted this. What was his motive? And going back to Oswald, we still don't know what Lee Harvey Oswald's motive was. And there are still being books written about it. So it's important that we find these things out. And I know that the FBI and the Secret Service are in the process of doing that. They've got big decisions to make. This is a serious investigation. And we have to change the national tune. and the national direction away from this kind of violence, because it's hurting us. It's killing us as a nation. We can't continue to do this.
So amen, my friend.
It's quite a week.
So, Gordon, you watching this, I'm sure you've seen the video countless times now, would be like me watching someone do a radio show. I could tell you better than most, oh, they did a great job here. This they could have been better on. Give me sort of a no bad pun intended, but sort of a postmortem on the way that your former agency handled the events of Saturday.
Yeah, you know, that's a really good question. And people are trying, you know, that's the question of the day in a way. You know, I understand security, Secret Service, security advance work. I know how it's done. I've done it many times myself over the decades. So I know what they were trying to do. And what we know, we take what we know, and that is that a lone gunman, and we think a lone gunman at this point, although the FBI is going down that avenue, that could there have been any domestic terrorism connection? We don't know that. It doesn't appear to be that way, but that's part of the investigation. But the question is, why was, before we can determine what happened and what we need to correct, we need to know, why was he targeting former President Trump? We don't know that yet. The FBI and the Secret Service are still formulating the important questions that will explain this event. The answers, of course, will be in the details, which we do not yet have access to. If there were some security misses, the difficulties that lone agents present and what can be done about them will come to the center of that question. It's way too soon. We know something happened. We know something happened that was bad. We know probably somehow there was a misstep, perhaps, in the security execution. We don't know any of that for sure, but from what we saw on Saturday evening, what most people know about this is that someone, and we know the name of the shooter now, attempted to assassinate former President Trump. And we don't know, as I said, why they wanted to do that. Some do it because they are disgruntled, maybe disappointed over a personal grievance. Others have medical issues.
Hey, Gordon, let me stop you there. Here at KMOX, we're up against a hard break, but let's do this. Let's you and I reconvene here on the show in a week or so when we have a little more detail and you can get into more detail. So appreciative of you at this time coming on the show, and we will talk to you either later this week or early next week, my friend.
Sure, Dave, it's my pleasure, and thank you very much.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
On KMOX. Want to let you know that while I was off, we were nominated for an STL Headliner Award. And typically with these things, so there are lots of awards. You know, there's RFT and there's St. Louis Magazine and A-List and such like that. But they want you to work for it. They want you to send people there and to vote. And I've typically not played those shenanigans, but then we typically lose. So
new strategy.
Yeah, new strategy. We're all in on the shenanigans. So if you enjoy the show and you get something out of it, you could do me a solid. You can go and you can vote. You can vote once a day, which I'm trying to vote more than that personally, but I'm at least going to vote once a day. So, Rach, how do people do it? What's the best way?
Just go check out the Dave Glover Show's Facebook page. While you're there, you can see the photo of Dave and Phoebe from their trip to Colorado. And then right under that, you can click on the link and vote for Dave for Best Local Radio Host.
Yeah. By the way, when we were out in Colorado and Harper, Phoebe's dorm mate friend was with us, and she was like, oh, you know, you look more like your mom, you look more like your dad. And of course, I'm like, she looks exactly like me. And not wanting to hear that you look like a 60-year-old man, Phoebe's like, I don't know, I don't think so. So if you comment on the page, maybe say, like, my God, twins, and that'll really piss off a 19-year-old girl. Dave, it feels like we haven't spoken for a long time. It's good to talk to you again. Yeah.
We have it. Good to have you back.
Yeah, good to be back.
I voted twice already.
Thank you, my friend.
Oh, that's so nice.
That's very sweet.
I'll keep it up. I'll keep going.
Appreciate he didn't say it. He voted for us. He just said,
yeah. Oh, yeah. Be specific, Dave.
I'm a team player. Team player. Yo, Dave, on Friday, we were celebrating Andrew's birthday.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody asked me, do you know what today is? And I said, I don't think it's St. Swithin's Day, but today is St. Swithin's Day.
I've never been madder at a saint right now. So 40 more days of whatever today is, that ain't good.
That's the old saying. It is St. Swithin's what became the Bishop of Winchester, and bishops get to be buried inside whatever, inside the church area. Yeah. He didn't want to be. He wanted the rain to fall down upon him. Hmm. So he was buried outside. When they decided to move him back inside, it started to rain. And it rained for 40 days and 40 nights.
How about that?
That's how that saying comes about. And basically what the weather is today is the weather for 40 days and 40 nights. Let's hope not. Let's absolutely hope
but
not.
But that's a cool story. I like
it
that.
Is,
I like that story.
Yeah,
that's pretty neat. How dare you move my body? Take this.
Seriously, when was that? Like 900?
Yeah, 8 like 875, something like that.
The good old days.
So totally scientific.
Yeah, the kind of thing
absolutely.
Like,
yes.
Like move him back, move him back.
So, but it is one of those days that you know, people, I think people have heard of St. Swithin's, but they have no idea why they've heard of St. Swithin's.
And so that's why. 2024, modern technology, we know that at least for the ensuing few days after this, it shouldn't be like it is today, correct?
No, but tomorrow is still hot and humid, but 96 for the high instead of hovering around 100 degrees. Yeah. The record today, 107 from 1980, which was a beast of a summer, not even close to that. Tomorrow, still hot and humid. There'll be a couple of thunderstorms around tomorrow, but not a lot. Then this front that's sinking in gets over us Tuesday night. Scattered rain and thunderstorms Tuesday night. Some could be strong. Some of these things really juicy with heavy downpours of rain. This is Tuesday night, 72 degrees. Wednesday, the front gets stuck on us, but just for a little while, partly sunny Wednesday with scattered storms. It's cooler Wednesday, noticeably cooler, 82 degrees. Thursday, Friday, some of the best weather you could ever get in the middle of July in St. Louis. Sunny skies, low humidity, high temperatures of 80 degrees, and it looks fantastic for this upcoming weekend with temperatures in the mid-80s. So a really nice stretch of weather coming up Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Sweet. Dave, I thought of you. So we left St. Louis.
I know,
Louis.
I felt that.
felt
that
the tremor.
Tingle.
We drove across the country, and it was like 95, 97 degrees. Then you get into Denver, and it's still pretty hot. Then in Keystone, it's about 68 degrees. But before going into Keystone, you go up 3,000 feet, and you go to Loveland Pass. It couldn't have been more than 45 degrees. Our teeth were chattering. It was so...
Know it well.
For like a weather nerd, it's just so fascinating what the elevation does.
Well, yeah, one of the first things I learned in graduate school is something I never knew because I was not big into mountain forecasting until graduate school, is that cool fronts that come down, they get hung up in the mountains. So there are some places that can cool down very quickly. Other places don't because the front gets stuck until it gets a little bit of a push. And once you know that, you can really forecast mountain weather.
It's so cool to be like 75 degrees and driving and looking at snow-capped mountains.
Yep.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yep.
So cool.
Did you have the afternoon thunderstorms?
You know, it was so cool because my buddy Scott Rutledge, who lets me stay in his place, says that the mountains there at Keystone typically stop some of the weather. And so we would see it get purple and raining. You can see it just torrential raining in the mountains, but it never made it to us. It was so cool.
Yeah.
Really
yeah.
neat.
Yeah. The Colorado-Wyoming thunderstorms are something to marvel at.
And then, Dave, we went to the Great Sand Dunes National Park, which I had not even heard of, and it's 40 square miles of sand dunes. It's like being in the middle of the Sahara or Tatooine or something like that. And as we drove away from that, we had to drive three hours north back to Keystone, just across the high deserts, and everywhere was just storms. Everywhere on the horizon was just these purple storms. It was beautiful.
It's beautiful. It is. It's spectacular. Spectacular.
Headlines, Rach?
Headlines is brought to you by Schnucks. Reward yourself daily with the Schnucks Rewards app. All right, so former President Trump gave his first interview since the assassination attempt this weekend. He spoke with the New York Post and Washington Examiner reporters on Sunday night, telling them, quote, "I'm not supposed to be here. I'm supposed to be dead."
Wow.
He also said the Secret Service did a, quote, "fantastic job protecting him and neutralizing the shooter," and praised the crowd of supporters for staying calm.
Where do you guys fall on that? Obviously, they reacted immediately. They ran up there knowing that, I mean, the shots were still going, so they could have been hit. They did that job. They got him into the vehicle relatively quickly, although they let him get his shoes on and stuff like that. But then they either didn't make their area of control big enough, or they trusted the wrong people to put someone on that roof or on a roof near it. What's your kind of postmortem about that?
Well, have you seen these videos of people being interviewed saying, like, "We saw him on the roof and we tried to tell and nobody seemed to care"?
Yeah. I mean, the story I saw today was that the Secret Service directly did not check out that building and they weren't policing it, that a local police unit was assigned, which is normal, by the way.
Yes.
Like, it's normal for them to use and local
139 meters.
I know.
Awfully close.
That's awful. I was surprised at that somebody could even get up there during a thing like that.
I don't know jack crap about this stuff, but as soon as you see the overhead, you go, "What about that building?"
Yes,
that's awfully close.
Right. I mean, look, I'm only half kidding, but we've all seen movies.
Right.
We know it's not that far.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, and thankfully, the person doing this was an amateur and was not someone really good at this.
And still hit him in the head.
I mean, didn't miss by much. And have you seen the photo, by the way?
Yes.
Of the bullet in the air?
Yes.
Wow, what a photo.
What a photo.
In that same interview, Donald Trump said he's preparing a whole different speech for the RNC in the wake of Saturday's attempt on his life, saying this is a chance to bring the whole country, even the whole world, together. The speech will be a lot different than it would have been 2 days ago.
I hope it is. And as a non-Trump person, I hope he nails it. I hope he nails it.
Oh, yeah.
The Biden campaign is going to start up activities again tonight after they halted them following the shooting at former President Trump's rally. The DNC will also start up activities after Biden's primetime interview with NBC's Lester Holt airs.
You know, we're talking about how Donald Trump's making a commitment to a new way of looking at things and a new way of behaving, and we all hope that he does. And I think the rest of us should follow that course. Don't you feel like that for it to really work, that incendiary political rhetoric will have to join the ranks of the R word and the N word and calling people fat and stupid, that when you do that, the crowd kind of low-key shames you for it? And don't you think that for it to be really effective long-term, that's going to have to happen? That added to the list of things you don't say would have to be incendiary political rhetoric?
Yeah, and it's going to have to start with the people that speak on television. And I mean the candidates. The candidates across the board, because if they're still doing it, if they're still calling their opponent the enemy, not my opponent, but the enemy, they want to take your style of, and because you hear it from Democrats, you hear it from Republicans, they all talk that way. Well, if you're gonna talk that way, we see somebody might believe it, and that's all it takes is for a few people to believe it, and the rest of us in the world will not adapt to that unless the people that are up front go first.
Yeah, on this we need to be led.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even Nancy Pelosi is grateful for Trump's safety. She posted on social media, "As one whose family has been the victim of political violence, I know firsthand that political violence of any kind has no place in our society. I thank God that former President Trump is safe."
I mean, think about it. When that happened, how did that reaction go?
Yeah.
When her husband was attacked.
I mean, not great.
It was a lot of jokes. And again, not the same as a former president. Like, the husband of a senator is not the same thing. I completely agree. But that would be along these lines, that all of our reactions to all of those things should not be which conspiracy is correct or which joke can I make.
Can you believe the conspiracies?
Oh, my God. And from the left and right. You got the competing views, right? Like, oh, Biden ordered it and the deep state did it. And the other side is it was staged and they're doing this just for the PR.
Look, the Secret Service are laughing and they're high-fiving.
Yeah. I mean, good Lord, people.
Thank you, Dave.
All righty.
So, Rach, watch the Gilligan's Island thing?
Oh, yes. I found a story about Gilligan's Island that I thought would be perfect for you, Dave. So, apparently the creator of the show said the second most frequently asked question about Gilligan's Island is, where did the Howells get all those clothes on the desert island? So, the millionaire and his wife. And the answer to that question is that it was symbolic. Their endless wardrobe was symbolic. It was my way of saying rich people manage somehow to have the best of everything, no matter what the circumstances.
That's deep.
That is deep.
Maybe they had a big trunk with them on there and they floated ashore.
Yeah, right. They did, which was it's a 3-hour tour.
Right.
The hell you bringing all your stuff with you for?
Sherwood Schwartz, the show creator, said that.
Also created the Brady Bunch.
Well, there you
go. What sort of
he knew some stuff.
Imagery was in that.
Oh, well, I don't know.
I was not expecting it to get that deep, but...
you never do.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O' Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh.